The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive.
Hi, folks. This is Bob Main. You're listening to another episode of Today's Survival Show, where our goal is to help you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms. And what I mean by the power of choice is creating options for yourself in your life. And it doesn't matter if something bad has happened or if even things are going well for you right now. The more options you have, the more ways that you can take responsibility and create different paths for yourself and choose one way over another and do it on your own terms and do it the way you want to do it and not having to live on systems of dependency out there. That's what I mean when I say the power of choice. And as Teddy Roosevelt once said, do what you can with what you have wherever you are. And isn't that really what life is all about? We just simply do what we can. We do our best. If the best isn't good enough, well, sometimes that's just the way it is. But we do our best with what we have wherever we are. And that pretty much sums it up, which is why I like to open this show with that. So thanks for tuning in to episode number 62 of Today's Survival Show. I'm dictating this a little bit differently, actually. I got a little bit of a different way of going about it. I'm doing an interview again today. As you know, I have been interviewing people from our forum lately, and this show is no exception. I have Mr. Dustin Keener, who is going to join us. His username on the forum is D&D in Dallas. Actually, he lives in a city not too far from me. I live in Frisco, Texas, and Dustin lives in The Colony, Texas. And he didn't mind me sharing that with you, so I thought I'd put that on this show. And I think it's about 12 to 15 miles down the road. Haven't had a chance to meet him in person yet, but I plan on doing that soon. We are going to talk about, as I mentioned, pistol caliber carbines. Sometimes they are considered an alternative to a shotgun or a rifle. If shotguns and rifles are just not your thing, but you want to have a weapon to defend yourself or to even in a survival situation to do some hunting where you can be more accurate than you can with a handgun, there's some real good arguments to be made for a pistol caliber carbine. If you're not real familiar with guns, that means a carbine length weapon, which is about the size of a small rifle, but it is chambered in a pistol caliber, typically 9mm, 40 caliber, 357, 45 ACP. Thompson guns were 45 ACP. I guess you could call them a pistol caliber carbine, but we're not going to talk about Thompson guns today, although it's going to be brought up in the interview, but that's not going to be the main focus. We're going to talk about how to use these for self-defense. Are they effective? Are they not effective? I think you're going to find out that they are effective when we get done with this show. And can they be used for hunting? So I won't steal too much more of Dustin's thunder. But before we get into the interview, I do want to just knock out a couple of announcements briefly. Our website is todayssurvival.com. Our forum website is todayssurvival.com/forum. I notice there's been a lot of use of our chat room lately. And if you are not a member of our forum, come join a bunch of like-minded people that want to share with you how to live a more secure life. And the chat room actually is quite educational. I've been enjoying it. Haven't had a chance to spend too much time on it the last couple of days, but I notice there's been a lot of people who have been using it. And also, folks, check out some of the resources on the main page at todayssurvival.com. Some of you might be getting these shows off of iTunes. And if you have not visited our main page, please go there. I have several different pages. I have a government part of it. I have a humorous part. I have a self-defense page. Every now and then I update it with some decent blog posts and I try to pull some information that's pertinent to what we do here in the preparedness field and put it up there. So check out the resource at todayssurvival.com. And remember to use all four products that I offer, the four products being the blog, the podcasts, the forum, and the chat room. So that's it. That's all the announcements that I wanted to knock out. And without any more fanfare, let's go ahead and join Dustin Keener. Go ahead, you might have to turn your volume up a little bit. I got most of the voice quality problems fixed, but you may have to just turn the volume up just a tad bit. So here we go. Let's dive into pistol caliber carbines. You there, Dustin?
I am. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining the show. Let's dive right into pistol caliber carbines. Why don't you give the listeners a quick overview of what kind of pistol caliber carbines that you're familiar with and what your expertise is on that?
Well, I'll tell you, I can honestly say I'm kind of newly bitten by the bug of pistol caliber carbines. Now, I did grow up shooting a Thompson. My dad had one. We had a relative that had great excesses of 45 caliber ammunition that he just couldn't give it all away yet, so much due to circumstances with his particular job. And so we got started. So I did grow up shooting a Thompson, and then originally, to my chagrin, one of the first trips I came home from college, found out Dad traded off the Thompson, but got a whole pile of guns in return, and those guns are now the bulk of my particular firearm collection, so I guess I shouldn't complain about that.
Yeah.
And began searching some other things. Fairly new to prepping. I'm a longtime shooter. Fairly new to prepping. Originally got interested in the pistol caliber carbines for home defense and some other things. And as I've learned more and more about prepping and gotten into that, I see where that could be a real thing. Currently, right now, I have a High Point, which, you know, I could go on and talk days about that. But also all the other ones that I've shot, I could go on and probably do a complete show on the Kel-Tec or the Marlins, or I've loved every single one I've shot.
Do you have one of those High Point 9mm carbines?
I do.
Yeah, good economical gun. They seem to have a pretty decent following.
Just can't beat it. It's just tremendous. Just tremendous. And I've had some things come up and where it's been particularly helpful for me. I read some time ago that a gentleman that does a blog, Hell in the Handbasket, James, I don't know his last name, saying that a lot of his disabled students, that's all they can shoot. Now, I'm fairly recently disabled myself, and I found that I have an easier time shooting a lighter, smaller gun, and the same with pistols. I found that last time I went to shoot was the first time I'd really been shooting since my injury, that I've had a lot of particular pain that day. Most of the times I went out to shoot, I was doing fairly well.
Right.
And went to shoot a pistol with the local Citizens Police Academy here, and I was hurting, and by the time I hiked out there and everything, I was having a rough time. But I picked up my, put down my 1911, picked up my Ruger Mark III, and boy, I didn't have any trouble at all. And to that, I even called in the nationally syndicated gun show, Tom Gresham Gun Talk, and said, you know, I said, is that a fair trade? I said, you know, when you're carrying concealed, it's always a consideration of, you know, size versus concealability and everything. I said, on days I'm hurting, should I carry a smaller gun? He said, absolutely. And
yeah.
So I'm translating that same thing to my rifles, is that, you know, I mean, you know, there could be a bump in the night. I could be in be particularly bad off. And instead of grabbing the shotgun, which would be my first choice, and, you know, when you're back to the wall in the bedroom, you know, if I'm having trouble that day and feel like I may not hold it up as well, I am probably going to grab that High Point.
Well, yeah.
Or whatever pistol caliber carbine du jour, you know, is that day.
Sure. And I, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, especially earlier. I want to focus in on something that you said a little earlier, Dustin, and that, you know, you were talking about a pistol caliber carbine for someone that's disabled or has some physical challenges and things. Maybe this is something that some of the listeners have never thought about. And if there's somebody tuning into this for the first time that saw the title of the show and said, hey, I think I'm going to check out pistol caliber carbines, from a home defense standpoint, I, you know, I guess I never thought about it until I set up this interview with you. But, you know, for people that do have some physical challenges, it might be a good option.
Yeah, I really think so. And, you know, and then, of course, in some of the advantages would extend to a survival situation. Now, I'm a big guy. You know, I've been a longtime weightlifter, and now actually with my injury, about lifting weights is about the only kind of physical activity I can still do. You know, I'm 6'3 and 270, so I can pretty much manhandle any firearm around. But, as I said, days I'm hurting, I can manhandle a small firearm better. And as it would extend to home defense or a survival situation, you know, let's say a guy's 6'3 and 270 like I am, his wife might be 5'3, 120.
That's right.
You give her a 1911 or a 12-gauge shotgun, you know, even with an 18-inch barrel, you might run into some problems.
I agree.
Or if you have a younger, you know, an older child, you know, a teenager, you know, that otherwise might be limited in being able to handle a 22, could probably handle a 16-inch barrel and 9mm.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned something else, Dustin, that I like. And you said you tend to favor some of the smaller guns. So do I. I think sometimes people buy too large of a gun. That's just my personal opinion. Some may differ with me on that. But in one of my handgun world shows...
Months ago, I would have differed with you, but, you know,
yeah.
We learn as we go along.
Now you're not... Well, and now you're seeing some of the advantages of the smaller guns, huh?
Exactly.
In one of my handgun world shows recently, I talked about the difference between small... short-barreled weapons and long-barreled weapons, and how you can actually be pretty accurate with a short-barreled weapon if you've practiced with it. It doesn't take very long for the bullet to stabilize, whether it's a handgun or a carbine. It doesn't take very long for the bullet to stabilize in that barrel and get on a straight trajectory.
I found that out. Yeah, that's exactly what I've noticed.
So give us an idea of some of the pistol caliber carbines that you recommend to folks.
Well, I tell you, they're getting hard to find. I tell you, right now, I'm to the point, I'd say anyone that you can find. You know, I've shot most of them, you know, there's just not a lot of market for them. In fact, I also called Tom Gresham with Gun Talk, because when I first became interested in these things, I began to look around, and there just weren't many out there. Of course, the High Point was there, and I was interested in that because of the price. But I can remember growing up in gun magazines and catalogs and, you know, the Marlin camp rifles and everything, you know, they were everywhere. They were all over the place. And hadn't thought about one in years. And I go to look around the catalogs and online, and they're just not there. So, first of all, you know, like the first rule of a gunfight, have a gun. You know, first rule of a pistol caliber carbine is be able to find one.
Oh, yeah. You know, you just said something I want to focus in on again. The first rule of a gunfight, have a gun. Now, if somebody's listening to this show for the first time, I really don't want you to get the wrong idea. I don't say that, and I don't think that Dustin means it, that we're going out looking for gunfights. That's simply not the case. I don't think anybody in their right mind really goes out and looks for a gunfight. What we mean by that term, don't...
I don't look for an argument myself.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's just me.
You know, a lot of us don't go out and look for trouble, but sometimes trouble finds us. And
exactly.
It's better to have one that you consider small than to not have one at all. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So I think, you have the High Point 9mm.
I grew up shooting a Thompson.
You grew up shooting a Thompson, right? That's actually considered a pistol caliber carbine, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, because, you know, 45 ACP, used, you know, extensively, you know, in World War II. And, of course, and then in World War II, you know, I think one of the brilliant moves that our military did is they had the forethought and thought that, you know, maybe this, the Garand is maybe not the best thing to go if you're a clerk or a cook or a Jeep mechanic. You know, takes a lot of time. That's an awfully big weapon. Takes a lot of time to learn how to master that. And instead of giving everybody, you know, the 1911 45 caliber pistol, why don't we have a smaller rifle to be used by everyone who doesn't have the full-time job to carry a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think all the advantages that our fighting men, you know, got to take advantage of in World War II in Korea by lighter weight, easier to shoot, you know, less recoil, you know, it's just very shootable. All those advantages, you know, will extend to the homeowner with a pistol caliber carbine.
Well, now you just led me into the next question I want to ask you, and we're going to get into survival in a minute, but let's stay on the topic of home defense. Tell me what you think, Dustin, is the primary advantage of a pistol caliber carbine for home defense that maybe another long gun, I'm not talking about handguns here, but another long gun might not have.
Now, the advantage that I notice, and now I'll be the first to tell you that this won't extend to everyone,
okay,
is that bump, you know, when you hear a bump in the night, you know, it's not always accessible. Well, first of all, you don't go out and go searching if you don't have to. But let's say your kids are down the hall, you've got to get everybody secure in one location.
Right.
If you have to move with something, I'm much more comfortable moving with a light, short rifle than I would be even an 18-inch barrel shotgun. You know, and I'm big enough that, you know, I can handle that. I can muscle, you know, I can, like I said, just overpower. I can just overpower that gun. I don't worry about that being taken away from me. I used to help my instructors teach weapon retention classes and things like that. I have a background in judo. So I'm very comfortable moving down the hall with one. Like I said, that might not extend to everyone, but that's the first advantage for me.
Yeah.
Second of all, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, and hold that thought for a minute. I just want to remind everybody, in case you didn't catch it, Dustin said he's 6'3", 270. And here he is preferring a pistol caliber carbine for home defense. And, you know, what you just said is a very important thing for folks to remember, that it's easier to maneuver with. And also, it's tougher for somebody to get that weapon away from you.
Absolutely. You know, it's very light. You know, there's just not much to grab onto. You know, there's not much to grab onto. It'd be very hard to wrest it away. I really think from anybody. I mean, anybody that's practiced hanging onto it, moving down the hallway with it just at home, you know, I don't think that particular weapon would require a lot of intensive expert instruction for a person to be hanging on to. I think that's something, you know, you could practice at home and practice moving down the hall with it and practice hanging on to it. I think really almost anyone, any adult or child of gun-bearing age could probably hang on to that.
Agreed. Agreed. You were about to bring up another advantage that you felt the pistol caliber carbine had.
And that is just, well, first of all, you know, the reason you have a pistol is to fight your way to a rifle, or as Clint Smith puts it, is to get back to the rifle that you shouldn't have put down in the first place. You know, I'm much more accurate being able to go ahead and put that to my shoulder and even sight it in. You know, even sight it in the dark, you know, or let's not say dark, but low light. You know, I can still secure the sights on that. I know very easily where that front sight is. I can get that on there in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's going to be much more accurate. Little story I wanted to tell.
Go ahead.
Is my wife did not shoot before we met. Kind of grew up around family that didn't have guns. Liked guns, thought guns were great. You know, no way, an anti-gun environment. Just didn't have them for whatever reason. So I got her into shooting. She is just naturally a good shot. Just one of those people. It kind of makes me sick. You know, she's just one of those people. You put a pistol in her hand, and she just naturally can do it.
Don't worry, my wife is a better shot than me, too.
So she never shot a rifle, ever. About a year and a half ago, I got some new shotguns. You know, I had her put about 2 rounds through each one. She thought that was fun, and went back and started practicing with her pistol. The first time I took her out, after getting this hype one, first time I went out to the range, got it. I loved it. She wanted to try it. So this is someone who's had 6 shots from a shotgun and never fired a rifle, never fired a .22. We moved one out. It was a 15-yard range. Go to the range master. I said, hey, can I back it up 5 feet? He said, sure. So we've got a fairly small-sized silhouette target. First time, she took 10 shots. She put 7 right in the head of the silhouette.
Wow.
One was in the throat. The other two were in each shoulder.
Nice.
So, you know, that was the first time ever shooting a rifle. So, you know, they're very shootable.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, too, because if some of you are listening to this and you have spouses or maybe you have children that are kind of leery about whether you should own a gun or whether they could even shoot a gun, then, you know, a pistol caliber carbine, that's what has its advantages, is because, you know, it's not as big, it's not as noisy, it doesn't kick as hard, it's not as unpleasant to shoot as a rifle or a shotgun.
And my wife was very, at least in her mind, she's very recoil sensitive. She's very recoil phobic. you know, she is, you know, she hasn't really had a problem with shooting a pistol and having a recoil. She likes big, heavy guns, so that's all right. But, you know, she's very tentative with the shotguns, and even with this, you know, she's very, you know, recoil phobic, I would say.
So if somebody's recoil timid, then this is where the carbine comes in very handy.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think it's just, there's some tremendous advantages to it. And also, you know, the same action would, you know, I think everything that as applies to this, as we've talked about, would apply to a lever action.
Yeah, now let's get into lever actions. Before we get into lever actions, I just want to mention to the listeners, while Dustin was talking about the High Point carbine, I just used my laptop here and I got on the internet, and I'm looking right now at a High Point 9mm tactical carbine on gunbroker.com for roughly $220 factory new.
I got mine for $189 at a gun show.
There you go. So we're talking about a cost-effective piece of equipment here, folks, that's easy to shoot, and there's really not much of a reason to not own one of these at the price point.
It's tremendous. You know, even ammo is still, when you can find it, it's still reasonable.
Nine millimeter.
Ammo is still reasonable as compared to, you know, 30-06 or 308 or something like that. You'll be able to get a lot more, you know, a lot more rounds in.
Yeah, 9mm ammo. Well, let's transition now over to lever action carbines.
Okay.
And this will probably also lead us into using a carbine for survival. One of my favorite lever-action carbines, and you and I talked a little bit about this on the phone before we did this interview, is the Marlin 357 lever-action.
And I have shot one. To be honest with you, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have thought that was viable in any way, shape, or form. You know, and then I find out that, you know, it's what Michael Blaine carries because of issues of being politically correct. I even got the shock of my life. It was featured on Shooting Gallery last year. I'm watching an episode, and it turns out the Steve Hendricks, who's the director of Swanson Tactical, actually submitted a proposal, but he was a deputy sheriff, that rural deputy sheriffs should carry lever actions as opposed to, you know, the patrol rifle, the AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this on this, you know, nationally syndicated show, you know, Shooting Gallery, and I heard that, and I just groaned. I went, oh, gosh, I don't believe it. My wife walks past and goes, there, they show that, and she goes, boy, that looks fun. So all of a sudden, I'm having to rethink all these things about lever actions, and I have had an opportunity to shoot that particular model since then. And my wife loved it because it's a 357. So
right, and it sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, let me say something about the 357 Marlin, because I used to have one. Regrettably, I sold that weapon. I shouldn't have done that, but that's a different story. Folks, never sell a gun. You're always going to regret that you sold it.
Well, that's the truth.
Yeah. If you look up the ballistics of a 357, the hot-loaded ones, like those that are made by Buffalo Bore, for example, the 180 grain, I believe they are, and they're very hot-loaded. They're actually made for hunting. And if you look at the ballistics of those coming out of an 18-inch Marlin 357, you're getting very close to the power of a 30-30. And if some of you don't believe me on that, I will post in the show notes some of those ballistics and you can read them for yourself. You're getting pretty close to that of a 30-30.
And a bit of trivia, you know, the 30-30 is pretty much designed as the superior anti-personnel round, you know, so when you want to look at the overall balance of things. So you start getting those kind of ballistics from a 357, you know, out of a lever-action carbine. And I've had to rethink everything. So.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, one of the other advantages of something like a Marlin 357 is that for practice, you can shoot 38 specials in it, and they're very low recoil. Again, for people who are recoil sensitive, that's an excellent option.
Right. And you know, that's something I personally wouldn't hesitate at all to practice with reloads. You know, someone selling 38 special reloads at a gun show, You know, you can pick those up. You know, they're very affordable and get lots of range time in for not very much money.
And folks, I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of a 357 Magnum, especially the hot loaded hunting cartridges by Buffalo Bore. I tell you what, they've got very good power.
Exactly.
So how do you think that gun would do in a survival situation? I mean, you probably noticed on the forum recently there was a 22 versus shotgun thread that was started, and that's kind of interesting, some of the comments on that. But what do you think about something like a 357 Marlin?
Well, it's versatile. You can do a lot with it, you know. I'm going to be very comfortable in defending the homestead on anyone, you know, let's say, ballistically a 100 meters and closer with that particular round, maybe even 120 meters or closer on that particular round, or about 80 meters based on my marksmanship. So for that, you know, long range for a home defense situation or kind of intermediate range in most tactical situations, you know, I would be very, very comfortable with any of the pistol caliber carbines at my side, especially, you know, with rate of fire with a lever action or semi-automatic, and, you know, the ability to get the rounds where I need them to be. So I'd be very comfortable with that. You can take a variety of game with that up to that same range.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
A lot of uses for it. And a lot of people can shoot it. A lot of different people can shoot it, you know, not just you.
Yeah, and you can take a variety of game with something like a 357 Marlin. You know, there might be some folks that would argue if you're shooting thing, you know, game like squirrels and rabbits, that's too much, and it probably is. But it does really, you know, but it gives you superior range. Gives you superior range over something like a shotgun and more knockdown power than a .22.
And the other thing, you know, in those extreme situations, you know, you can, you know, you might think about, you know, you might think about, you know, the you know, snake shot, you know, they make snake shot in virtually everything,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, you know, if you begin to get creative and think outside the box a little bit, you realize there's a lot that can be done with it.
Do they make snake shot for a 357?
Sure. I've had it. Yeah, I have some.
Okay. So. Well, there's another good option. You know, I kind of look at a 357 lever as kind of an in-between gun. More power than the .22, better range than a shotgun, doesn't recoil as much as a shotgun, gives you more ability to reach out and touch some game than a .22 does, and it's still pretty lightweight ammo. It, you know, you can carry 100 rounds of 357 fairly easily.
You know, and you know, that's one that can go with you. The thing of it, I'm beginning to think about these situations, you know, these particular weapons in this situation. Is that something that I can throw in the trunk and, you know, keep there? So, I mean, if it's one of these bad situations where the stink hits the fan, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, sure, it's nice to have a pistol out, but, you know, if you're trying to get to your bug out location or just trying to get home, you know, if things could get particularly bad, if you're 24 hours away from the house, just like, you know, trying to travel from the far end of Fort Worth to the far end of Dallas, you know, I'm certainly going to feel better if I have a rifle with me, even any sort of rifle.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, there is something to be said for the political correctness of the lever action because, you know, like they always say, you know, if you have to go to court, you can say, well, hey, you know, I got my John Wayne rifle here. I keep it in the trunk in case I see some game or in case I'm taking a hunting trip or something like that. And, you know, it looks a lot less evil than a AR or an AK.
Certainly. And, in fact, even with the semi-automatic, because, you know, when I began to explore this and began to find that there weren't any around, you know, I did call the show. I asked Tom Grisham. I said, you know, where did they all go? I said, I remember these were everywhere when I was a kid. And he said, well, you know, he gave some various reasons. He said, you know, the people that want a rifle want a real rifle. He actually said it was a fantastic home defense weapon. And that started some dialogue with people calling into the show. And a couple of people that live in very, very, very unfriendly areas of the country to guns. And they said that, you know, they said they would be feel they would be very, very nervous and have some trepidation reporting to the authorities that they had to shoot an intruder, you know, with a hand, even with a handgun, or, you know, with an AR-15 or something like that. But he said, he goes, I've got a camp rifle. I just got a Marlin camp rifle.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a camp rifle. I use it to go hunting with all the time.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and by the way,
I think that there's a lot to be said for that.
And by the way, you mentioned something about Gun Talk Radio. Folks, I want to let you know. Let me go ahead and put a plug in for Tom Gresham's show. It's an excellent show. You can go to guntalk.com. Tom's been around a long time. I've listened to several of his shows. He's part of the Gun Talk Radio Network. Guntalk.com is the website. You guys might want to check that out.
So, yeah, that was some good guidance, and that actually was – That actually was not too long before I decided to actively get involved with prepping and found your show and began to explore some things.
Yeah. I want to mention something, too, for some of you listeners that are wondering. When I made the comment earlier about selling the Marlin 357, you might be wanting to, you know, reach through and slap me up alongside the head and say, what did you do that for? I did that, and I got a Ruger Mini 14, which is it's kind of a controversial gun. Some people think it's good, some people don't, but I really like it. It's a soft recoiling gun for defense purposes, excellent. Not much of a hunting rifle, really, for big game, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah, it's a good trade. It's a good trade. I won't slap you. I might shake you by the collar a little, but we've all got guns we wish we had back. So.
Yeah, like I said, so... any other carbines, pistol caliber carbines, that you think would be good for home defense or survival?
Well, I tell you, right now, the more I've had a chance to shoot one a couple of times recently, and the more I think about it, the more I like the Kel-Tec as well.
Okay, tell me about the Kel-Tec. Which one?
Before I tell you, you would ask me, I'm going blank on the model number now, unfortunately.
Is it 9mm? 9mm?
Yes, the 9mm. As far as I know, it's the only model they make. Interchangeable with a variety of magazines, definitely the Beretta, Glock 19, I believe maybe even some of the SIG. I think I might have said some of the SIG. I know it does, the Glock 19 and various models of the Beretta. So you can extend that out. The high point's limited to stock magazines of 10. There is an aftermarket of 15. It was made at the height of the assault weapons ban of the Clinton administration.
Yeah.
So that's why it's limited by that. But, you know, the Kel-Tec, the stock, you know, it's comes with a folding stock. So that's built in. That folds. Does not violate any of the regulations because you cannot fire it from the stock folded position.
Okay.
So you have that aspect of it built in automatically. I know... in early 2000, it seems to me that the carbines like that were kind of catching on with law enforcement, kind of a flash in the pan, I think, really. But I know the majority of police departments that went to a carbine like that went with the Kel-Tec because of the extended magazine and the folding stock. I know San Antonio did. I'm not sure if they still use them, but I know San Antonio did.
Yeah, you're talking about the Kel-Tec Sub 2000. That's what it is.
Correct. Yes, that's
yes,
it.
Yes, the Sub 2000. And for the people listening to this show, one of the advantages of this gun, of the Sub 2000, is you can get versions that, for example, will take Glock magazines. So if you own a Glock pistol, your magazines are interchangeable, and that's huge. That's a huge advantage.
In fact, I believe that might be stock. I know some magazines are interchangeable with it. Just off the shelf.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that is stock. It's interchangeable. I think there's one version that that changes out with Glock 19 mags, and there's another one that changes with the full-size Glock mags, like the Glock 17s. I think you said Berettas as well, right?
Yes, certain models of the Beretta, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and think about the survival advantages of that. You've got, first of all, your pistol and your carbine rifle that use the same ammunition and the same magazines.
So
that's a huge advantage. I'm looking right now. I found a Kel-Tec Sub 2000 here, less than $300.
That's one of the other advantages. Like I said, the more I see them, the more I like them. So
yeah,
that's probably next on the list.
And I'll tell you what, if you load that thing up with Corban DPX 9mm, for example, because that's what I carry in my pistols, and that extra barrel length gives you a little bit more velocity, a little bit more expansion on the round, that'll do some damage too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what you wanted to mention about that. Now, the High Point does take Plus P stock off the shelf.
It does. Okay.
Yeah. So that's tell you, they function very well through there. That was one thing that I did not know at the time of purchase that I've learned since I've had it, and has been very comforting to know that. So
excellent.
So and Kel-Tec, I've learned Kel-Tec's the same way, actually.
Yeah,
so
good.
You can go Plus P right in there, right off the shelf, and you're set. And like I said, you know, you load it with a good round like Corban, and you know, you've definitely got a formidable asset with you there.
Yeah, and you know what? Before we wrap this up, because I do want to bring this to a close in about 5 minutes or so, let's get back to home defense for a minute. You said something earlier in this interview that I made a note of, and I want to get back to it, and that is the advantages of having a smaller long gun makes it tougher for someone to wrestle that gun away from you. If you have home intruders that come in and they try to wrestle that gun away from you, it's harder to do that. Tell me why you think that is.
And that's, you know, and of course, that's even without a sling. I have a sling on mine now, you know, and I would, you know, almost wager, you know, any two people to be able to, you know, try to get that away from someone. Of course, now part of it, sure, I'm not going to lie. Part of it is the fact that, you know, my size and my training and weapons retention, sure. But still, my wife, you know, she is 6 feet tall, but, you know, not nearly as heavy as I am, and does not have the, you know, defensive tactic background that I have. You know, it's very hard. That particular model, you've got the grip, you know, right there where the magazine goes. And you can seat that and press that against your shoulder, you know. And actually, I'm very secure with this with one hand. You know, if I had to have another hand to operate a light or pick something up, pick someone up, you know, help someone up, you know, because if you look, you know, you will see the grip there where you're going to feed the magazine. Well, you have that. Lock that stock in, and you can do that because it's light enough, it's short enough that, you know, I think really anybody with just a little bit of practice can move and hang on to this gun.
You're talking about your High Point? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and, you know, folks, I'll post a picture of the High Point that he's talking about. It's a pistol grip type of a weapon, so that does make it easier for you to retain that weapon. If you're looking at a pistol caliber carbine, that's one of the advantages, is many of them are in pistol grip format.
And I think that's the biggest reason why the carbines like that are easier to hang on to, is just because of the pistol grip configuration.
Yeah.
And the lighter weight that, you know, you can lock that in. You know, you don't have to be, you know, a big strong weightlifter to be able to hold on to that.
Yeah. So plus,
if locked into your shoulder with a good grip on the pistol grip, it's going to stay.
And in addition to that, a shorter profile weapon is harder. It gives your adversary far less leverage to be able to get that away from you.
Exactly. Exactly. So
good.
Yeah, it's easily retained.
Good. Well, I think that's all the time that we have for this show. But, Dustin, you have really done a great job here of sharing some ideas and some things for people to think about. And I think especially for those people who do not have any type of what we call a long gun, a shotgun or a rifle for their home defense needs, I think you've given them some excellent things to think about. And you've done a great job. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate
it. You know, in closing, I wanted to say that, you know, I've heard you say frequently when someone says, well, you know, I don't have any money. You know, I really can't get involved in prepping. You said, that's the person I want to talk to.
That's right.
The person I want to talk to is what I've heard from so many times, and they say a lot here, and I've heard it from a lot of single ladies, is, well, you know, I'm not against having a gun in the home. I just don't know anything about them. And that's the person I want to talk to about pistol caliber carbines and say, well, look, here's a viable option for you to be armed and be safe.
You know, that is a really good point. Do you mind if I borrow that from you?
go right ahead.
But you heard it first from Dustin Keener, D&D in Dallas, on our forums. That's excellent. Thank you. And thanks
for
coming.
Please say hi to us on the forum. We'd love to hear from you. In fact, I even posted a prepping question in there, so I'd love to get your folks' input about that.
Well, we'll check that out. Everybody, check out his question and get back to him on that. And, Dustin, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Okay, folks, I hope you got a lot out of that. I want to thank Dustin very much for coming on this show. It really kind of changed my outlook on pistol caliber carbines. Wish I hadn't got rid of that Marlin, but I've been saving up a little bit of money lately, so maybe another one of those might be back in my future again. So before I close the show, I want to go ahead and extend the invitation. If some of you on our forum, or even if you're a listener and you're not a member of our forum, but you have an expertise in a certain subject area that might help people live a more secure life, I'd like to bring you on the show. Let's set up an interview. I can do it over the phone, and if you have Skype and you have a headset, we can do it Skype to Skype, and I can record that. Or I can just call you up. I prefer to call you up on a landline. Typically works a little bit better. I think Dustin was using his cell phone when I called him, but I think it came out okay. But if you want to get on the show, talk about some stuff, let's do it. Just shoot me an email, give me an idea of what your subject is going to be, maybe a brief outline of the stuff that you want to say, and let's go for it. So without anything else, let's go ahead and close the show. Thanks for listening to episode number 62 of today's Survival Show, where our goal is to help you tap into that power of choice so you can live a more secure life and do what you can with what you have wherever you are. Thanks for listening, folks. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.